You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. If you're watching, you're listening, you're doing both, you can watch on Peacock. It's free. All 3 hours. You can listen. 362 radio affiliates around the country. Say good morning to Chat Row. Got a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. We got football tonight, Dolphins, Jags, also basketball, a pivotal game 4, Lakers and the Nuggets. I told you last night was a pivotal game 4.
I heard it elsewhere too.
Yeah, pardon the interruption, called it a pivotal game 4, Celtics and the Heat. My Heat go up 3-1. Tyler, the hero, had 37. He's got to change it. What's his middle name? Because we got to change it to the. Tyler, the hero, goes for 37 in a breakout game last night. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. We'll hear from Tyler Hero coming up. You start to look at these performances in the bubble, and this bubble performance last night by Tyler Hero is being compared to Magic Johnson's 42-point game in the 1980 finals. I won't go that far, because that performance in that game is as big a performance as you'll have in NBA history. What Magic did as a rookie playing basically all five positions, including center, without Kareem in there. But Tyler Hero, the Miami Heat guard, had an historic night last night. He's only 20. He had 37 points in the 112-109 victory. We had no idea how good he was at Kentucky. He was only there for 1 year. They got bounced in the Sweet 16, I think, by Kansas State. But he was nice during the regular season. He's capable of leading the team in rebounds. He's capable of leading the team in assists. He's also capable of leading the team in points, but he's not afraid. Not afraid at all. Go back to his YouTube videos when he was in high school. He was not afraid. Went to Kentucky, not afraid. And now with the Miami Heat at the age of 20 in the playoffs, not afraid. The best thing about the playoffs is you just never know who's going to step up. We had Devin Booker, he kind of emerged a little bit more nationally with the Phoenix Suns. Jamal Murray has emerged in the bubble as well. But Tyler Hero made a mark for one of the greatest performances we've seen in the postseason for a rookie. And you start to take inventory on that and you're going, wait, is it really one of the great performances for a rookie? And the answer is yes. Now you look at the numbers historically. And then you get this team up 3-1, best of 7 series. The teams are up 3-1, go on to win 95% of the time. But we've already seen the Denver Nuggets twice come back from 3-1 in the bubble. It's a little bit different in the bubble. It's more sterile. You don't have to worry about the opposing crowd, travel. And I think you're seeing these performances from younger players. I don't think they're intimidated. I think the bubble, younger players have flourished in the bubble. Whereas the older player, the more established player, he's probably got more things going on in his life. You've got your families, and here's Tyler Hero, who's 20 years of age. All he's doing is just going in there and playing. You're not worried about a hostile environment there, and you're seeing some of these younger players emerge. But that was fun to watch, and Miami Heat go up 3-1. We'll check in with Jason Jackson, former ESPN SportsCenter host, who now, he's been hosting the Miami Heat pre- and post-game for 15 years. He'll join us coming up. This program brought to you by LegalZoom, LegalZoom.com. They take care of things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. A couple other items. Tampa Bay Rays win the AL East. I was watching the Lightning beat the Dallas Stars. I watched one quarter of that last night just to hear it from Doc Emmerich. The Mid-American Conference football vote will be Friday to see if they come back. If it's the blueprint is basically, the new blueprint is, 6 games in a regular season, if you can. That's what the goal is for these conferences who are now trying late in the fall to do this. We already saw the ACC, SEC, and Big 12. They got started early. They're planning on playing 9 or 10 games. But everybody else, if you're coming back now, you're trying to squeeze out 6 games. McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have for me today? And Fritzy, no mock headlines? Tyler Hero?
It's too easy. You got to be more creative than that. Just it's right there for you. It's when it's that blatant, you almost have to stay away from it because it's silly.
Hmm.
to have someone named Hero do what he did last night.
Okay. I was wondering, usually you take the easy way out, the simple way out.
How much would I get crushed if I said, here's my mock headline, what a hero, or hero of the night? I'd get destroyed.
I know.
It'd be ridiculous for me to play off of Hero.
But we do that anyway.
We do.
So
and mine are mediocre at best regardless, so maybe. Can I write a bunch of Hero mock headlines?
No, it's up to you. We were surprised because usually I get the mock headline sent to me and nobody else. And then it's my job to be sort of the lifeguard to see if I allow you in the deep end of the pool.
That's true.
And then there are times when I go, you better put on some floaties. And then other times I say, don't even put on your bathing suit. But Tyler Hero, look, how many years have you been giving us Valentine's names, Christmas names.
Ellis Valentine.
Halloween. Yes.
John Candelaria, Candelaria.
No, I know. I'm just saying that. And we're getting close to Halloween, so I don't know. If you don't want to do mock headlines, you don't have to. I was just surprised that you didn't. Now you gave me the rationale, and I'm fine with that. We move on. McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have?
Okay, let's jump in on the Tyler Hero overreactions, or maybe appropriate reactions. I'll give you a redraft of the 2019 NBA draft. Who you've taken, Ja Morant, Tyler Hero, or Zion Williamson?
I'm going to take Ja Morant. I think he'll be the best player out of this group. But if I'm starting a franchise and I want eyeballs, I'm going to take Zion Williamson. I need to see a whole lot more from Tyler Hero. I need him to be more consistent. Let me put it that way. Ja Morant was consistently great this year. Zion had his moments when he was great. Tyler Hero is on a team that allows him to make cameos. Like, you can kind of pop in like Duncan Robinson and be great one night, and then you can step back out of the spotlight. Now, he's had a couple of good games here, you know, back-to-back. I think he had 22 points in Game 3. Can he be consistent? Because that's going to be the real key here with, you know, Tyler Hero. As you move forward, yeah, Paulie.
This, I'm smelling what's going on here. This is a classic McLovin poll question to set up himself for a scalding hot take.
Do you have a scalding hot take?
I don't, but I sort of do. I would take Hero over Morant because it's a shooting league, and he's got that Steph Curry. It's the Steph Curry clone league now.
So why wouldn't you take Tyler Hero over Zion if it's a shooter's league?
Because I'm just a massive Zion fan. Zion... Like, I don't know. I just still would take Zion. I can't explain it exactly. But isn't this like kind of Steph Curry look-alike, the new thing in the NBA? And I don't think Ja Morant can shoot outside.
Easy. You know, we've done this with Jamal Murray. We're doing it with Tyler Hero. They're not Steph Curry.
Right, but they're inspired by Steph Curry.
Okay, inspired is one thing, but a comparison to, I got to stop you short there.
Everybody else is doing it. Why can't we jump in?
I'm sorry. I don't do hot takes here. You know, I try to be reasonable, rational.
Andre Iguodala played with both.
I know.
And the first thing out of his mouth yesterday was like, that was Steph Curry.
No. He didn't want to go there.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear it that way.
He was tiptoeing, and then he goes, I can't exactly say that. But, you know, there's comparisons of their handle and their ability to get off their shot. Steph Curry is an anomaly. Like, Steph Curry changed the NBA. I mean, let's be fair to Steph Curry's legacy here. Tyler Hero had 37 points. Steph Curry, we expect him to have 37 points. Now, you can say not as a 20-year-old because Steph was still at Davidson getting 37 against Appalachian State. But Tyler Hero on a big stage, it's hard to really assess Kentucky players. Because they're only there for 4 or 5 months. And, you know, they've only won one national title with John Calipari. All of that talent, one national title. It's hard to really bring all of that in and make it all work in a short period of time. That's why we'll always have teams that have that veteran leadership experience. Guys are juniors and seniors. They're always going to do damage in the tournament. Because there's something about that familiarity of being together for a few years. But you go back, Bam Adebayo, who was at Kentucky, he's the one who said to Pat Riley, you got to draft Tyler Hero. And I watch Kentucky play. There'd be times when I'd go, boy, that guy's great. And then you tune in again and you go, oh, that guy's great. It's you know, it was sort of like, who wants to be the star today for Kentucky? And Tyler Hero kind of got lost. I remember when he got drafted and I thought, okay, maybe he can be a spot-up three-point shooter. But then you realize he's long, he plays defense, and he's a good passer, good rebounder, and he's not afraid. Like my description, if somebody says, how would you describe Tyler Hero? I'd say not afraid. That's it. He's not afraid. Yeah, Paul.
A lot of people are comparing him to Devin Booker. Both averaged 14 points a game as rookies. Both average about 35% from three as rookies. And then they broke out their second year.
Well, they won't build around Tyler Hero. Phoenix is built around Devin Booker. Devin Booker is a better player than Tyler Hero.
But do you think Miami is the perfect team for Tyler Hero because they don't really have a ball dominant guard? He has room to shoot, room to play.
Well, they do spread the wealth. They're really good at that. Like Jimmy Butler, you just sort of look at him and go, hey, Jimmy, we need some points here with 6 minutes to go. Goran Dragic has been great. Bam Adebayo is great. Keep an eye on that injury that he suffered last night. I don't know if that's going to affect him if they get to the NBA Finals, but Bam Adebayo got hurt last night. Yes, McLovin.
Another juicy overreaction question. You can take one player from this Eastern Conference Finals to build around. So I'll give you 20-year-old Tyler Hero, 22-year-old Jason Tatum, 23-year-old Jaylen Brown, or 23-year-old Bam Adebayo.
Hot, 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 hot.
Okay. Jason Tatum cannot go scoreless in a half. But he did.
But he scored 28 in the second.
I know.
That's amazing.
But you can't put up a donut. We can't have the same number of points. I'm watching, he's playing, and we have the same number of points in the first half. That can't happen. He's a great player. That doesn't happen to great players. But wait, you just called him great. I know. I would still take Jason Tatum. Yes. Do you have mock headlines now, Todd?
I banged out a few.
Okay. You guys.
This is going to be especially bad. If these are under pressure, banged out a few in just a couple of minutes, this is not setting yourself up well,
Do you need
Todd.
Any more time, Todd? Are you good?
I think I'm ready.
Okay.
Some may not make a lot of sense. They usually don't.
Okay, do we have any music here?
I'd love a little music.
Yeah, that's the only thing that dresses these
Can
things
we listen
up.
To music instead of hearing the headlines?
Wow.
Like just some 70s rock?
Here we go, Todd.
Okay, here's a creative one to get started with. Heroic performance, playing off name Tyler Hero. Heroic performance.
You don't repeat him.
See, you don't even have to go heroic performance. His name is Hero. It would just be heroic performance.
Hero today, gone tomorrow? Is he a flash in the pan?
That's at least original.
Could be a flash in the pan.
Just keep going.
I need a hero. Well, you got one. Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, nobody knows that song.
The greatest American hero.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on.
That reference is even older.
Heat said, she said. That doesn't make sense, does it? Heat said, she said. All right, we got to. Don't be surprised. Tyler Sepulstra do that.
Sepulstra.
Tyler's Eric Sepulstra dude.
Have you used that one before?
I definitely have used that one. Three more, and then I'll put you guys out of your misery.
That was a full laugh from you.
Jukebox Hero. That's nothing to do with jukeboxes or music.
That's a Foreigner. That's late like 70s. That. Well done, Todd.
How about Hogan's Hero? An old TV show from the 70s.
It doesn't
make sense.
No,
what does that got to do with anything?
But do you have any references after 1995?
This last one will work. Brad Stevens says, we don't need another hero. He's done with him. Killed him with 37 points, I think, last night.
By the way, it's Paulie's birthday. You can buy any two regular price T-shirts for $49 at danpatrick.com. It's a special Paulie birthday sale there.
Very exciting.
danpatrick.com. Paulie loves this stuff.
Oh.
He loves that stuff.
Much rather have it ignored completely than hear that song.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I wondered, but Seton tied it into the T-shirts there, so that's the only reason why I brought it up. I would say it to you privately, happy birthday. I would whisper it to you as we left the studio today. Like,
thank you.
Hey, happy birthday.
My birthday's in 16 days.
Thanks,
it's on
Todd.
A Saturday, though.
Is it same day, same year?
Brett, did I tell you about that? Brett Favre and I were both born October 10th, 1969. We're both going to turn 51 in 16 days. I know it's Paulie's birthday today, but in 16 days
slow
from
down.
Now.
Slow down.
Me and Brett Favre are going to be 51 the same day in 16 days from now.
Slow down.
10-10-69. But it's a Saturday. We'll have to celebrate it Friday the night.
You know what? We're not going to acknowledge your birthday since we did it today.
On Friday the 9th, a quick mention.
McLovin, what other poll questions do you have?
Okay, I want to hype up tonight's Thursday night matchup, Dolphins-Jaguars. If you combine every team in the NFL, is there a worse possible matchup than Dolphins-Jaguars? I mean, I know you're going to say Jaguars-Colts because they take out the AFC South.
Well, that was an exciting game, at least, Jags and the Colts.
It was. I never turned over to that. I have my Sunday ticket set so the AFC South games don't come in.
If Tua was playing, then this is really good. This is must-see TV. Fitzpatrick against Gardner Minshew, the beard versus the stash. Jacksonville is trying to prove me wrong. Then, you know, they're going to be competitive this year. What else would be? I think any game the Jets are in would probably be a disaster. How about Jets versus Giants? How bad would that be? No Saquon in there. Jags, Dolphins. No, the Bengals. No, take the Bengals off the list. The Panthers without Christian McCaffrey. That's pretty dry. The Lions. Jags, Dolphins. Yeah. I think if you put the Lions in there too. Yes, McLovin.
Do you still view the Jags as a team that could be tanking for Trevor, or are they not really the worst of the worst right now?
Well, on the field, they play hard. Every time I bring this up, people say, yeah, hey, Gardner playing great. No, Gardner Minshew is going to play hard. Those players are going to play hard. This is managerial tanking. It's the same thing the Marlins did. And Derek Jeter got so upset about it. He's like, these guys are playing hard. The guys you put on the field, Derek, are playing hard. You're not putting the best product on the field that you can. That's called tanking. The Cubs did this. It's called tanking. Help them win a World Series. What else do you have, McLovin?
Boy, the Marlins are going to make the playoffs, which is sickening to a Phillies fan. But, okay, so if you had to bet one of these teams is not, who's the team that you would bet on is most certain not going to make the playoffs?
Okay.
So kind of the teams you just mentioned, like Bengals, Jets, Jaguars. Panthers.
Who is not making the playoffs?
Who would you bet $100 is not making the playoffs?
The Jets.
You're totally sure that they don't have a run?
The Giants. The Panthers.
You only have to pick one.
The Bengals. I'm telling you that I don't know if any of these teams make it. You know, there was a lot of love by the experts for the Lions. But, man, you're getting to that point. If you go 0-3, and you're already on a warm seat there, Matt Patricia is. Who do the Lions have this week?
Someone they're going to be ahead of at halftime and lose in a painful fashion.
They go to Arizona. That's a tough one.
Yeah. But that's the kind of game the Lions win. Every year, it feels like where you go, boy, that's somebody's going to have a win where you go, what? And that might be the Lions, what type of win? Yes, Paul.
I saw the books. What? 93% of the country has their money on the Arizona Cardinals to cover against the Detroit Lions. The biggest bet of the weekend.
Who's born on your birthday, Paulie? Same day.
Oh, I got some really good ones.
Same day, same year?
No, I don't have that. Adam Sandler's wife, Mrs. Sandler, is born on birthday.
Jackie?
That's right.
Yeah.
F. Scott Fitzgerald, which...
Why F. Scott Fitzgerald? What did he do?
Any excuse to bring that back?
I know. Every time I see Ted, I watch that movie, and they get to F. Scott. What did he do?
You said F. Scott Fitzgerald.
You said F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Mean Joe Green,
ooh.
Eddie George, and my personal favorite, the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Oh,
on this date.
Wow.
Another thing we have in common. I don't know what that means.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. He's Jason Jackson, Miami Heat. Talk about the Heat. TV host, courtside reporter, hosts SiriusXM NBA Radio, and he joins us on the program. Well, you saw that one coming last night, didn't you?
I try to lead Heat Nation, Dan. I don't try to, you know, prescribe to, even though President Pat Riley of the Miami Heat has those two phases of just winning and misery, I try to be that bridge in between called hope, okay?
All right, no, you got a chance to see Tyler Hero all season long. And I always say, when somebody says, how would you describe him? I say, he's not afraid. But, you know, the evolution or the maturity or whatever it is, I mean, he's 20 years of age. You're not doing these things in the playoffs at 20 years of age. Why is Tyler Hero doing this?
He's a son of a coach. And I think that stuff is real. It's part of his DNA to understand fully that, first of all, it's work. Like, if you're going to get, you've been blessed, you're tall, you have an acumen for putting the ball in the basket. You had no problem disappointing a whole state, leaving Wisconsin to go play at Kentucky. And when you play at Kentucky, you're playing in some serious basketball locations, particularly your home arena, by the way, with that big Blue Nation, who will love you and will turn on you, as you know full well, in an instant. So I think that 1 year helps, and then that space helps, because not only are you playing with some of the best players in the country, you're playing with some of the best alumni in the universe. And players came back, obviously, that summer as he's coming to school throughout the year, the summer after. And now it's been a year since training camp, Dan. It's ridiculous. A year ago, next week, I was dragging my behind up and down Interstate 95 to West Palm Beach just to get to know this kid. But I'll briefly tell you this story about seeing him the very first time. I think I told you last time we were together that I do these charity events for Calipari there in the Bahamas. Hero's in there getting busy like you're seeing right now against grown men. Now, listen, the national team in the Bahamas, all right, is it's not the dream team, okay, but those are grown men, all right? Some a little too grown. I believe there was a 35-year-old cat out there getting busy. But there was just, I remember calling my sons who follow all the young high school players across the country, going, and I did like everybody else. Said, there's this guy, Hadro, who's out here jumping out of the gym, first of all. So there's a part of his game we still haven't seen.
So you thought he was from another country. You gave him the Hadro.
Well, I've been in Miami for so long, you know, got to roll your R's, man. I was like, I'm the only guy who will ever be on your show that's on Peacock with peacocks out actually on the street. So it's a beautiful existence down here. From the beginning, you just see kind of this, and it matches his head coach, by the way, even. Up 30, down 30, hit 1 of 20, hit 19 of 20. Calmness and evenness and a willingness, Dan, to take instruction, not thinking because you're doing so well as a young player that you don't know anything. And Jimmy Butler from day one woke his behind up at 3 a.m. for workouts, created what is called Tyler Tuesday. Not as awesome as the catchphrase I'll be stealing about not just being a sub.
He's a hero.
Oh, I usually go to Mariah for that one. And a hero came along.
Oh, you always had a soft spot in your heart for Mariah, didn't you?
Oh, it hasn't changed.
No.
I don't care. It's been Dan.
You're only human.
It's been 30 years of a love affair through Tommy Mottola and all these dudes.
Eminem.
Babies and what have you. She looks at me wrong one time. One time.
All right, so I'm on the Heat bandwagon. In fact, I text you, I don't know when, a couple days ago, and I said, my Heat. So... how good is this team? Let's say they get to the finals. Let's say it's against the Lakers. Can they hold their own with the Lakers, given the makeup of who they are, what they have, and going against what the Lakers have?
As long as it doesn't trend the way it did in the 2 regular season meetings.
Ouch.
that would have to change. But everything with this team has changed since then. The world has changed. It would... listen, needless to say, I've projected my brain a little bit. Again, you keep putting me in these tenuous spots. I have been a wonderful Miami Heat employee for nearly 17 years because I don't talk like this in public, Dan. But for you, for you, anything. Right? It comes down to a very simple thing with the Miami Heat. Are you going to defend like no one ever defends, unlike Game 3 when that 60-point debacle in the paint that they could not stop. Like, I'm not even saying the Heat defense was poor. Just Boston decided what they were going to do and got there. And obviously, the adjustment, you see the results of that. But with the Lakers, man, and God bless the Nuggets, man, for not caring, right? But those two, you just don't have anything for those two. So you hope that you at least are matching AD and LeBron. Hopefully they're not having those all NBA first team nights. Hopefully LeBron's not mad about the voting process. By the way, bring team broadcasters back in. I think that's where LeBron should go. Bring the team broadcasters back into the voting. That man's MVP.
Would you have given him MVP?
LeBron?
Yeah.
But again, how could you be wrong? How could you be wrong voting him MVP if you chose to, simply because of the word value? Where was that team when he was injured down the stretch for the first time in his career? And where was that team when he was on the floor the majority of nights? It's a really simple thing. And he's right. For so long, and you and I have voted in this spot, best team, best player. That's where I start as a voter. That's not an indictment against Giannis at all. I mean, we don't get a criteria when we get that ballot with five slots. I don't think it was a problem either way if you voted LeBron one or two. I'm with LeBron in the sense that the 16 first place votes seems a little light. It's like when you give somebody a 20 and they give you $2 back, you're like, yo, wait a minute, that's not the change. That's not, I didn't purchase something for $18. That's not how it works around here.
I'm going to guess Miami Heat fans, do they want LeBron?
I think deep down they do, knowing full well that that's, you know, a lunchbox, a hard hat with a light and a thermos, and hoping to the almighty that you can get that thing to seven games and then see what happens. Listen, if we're being super candid, and that's what you brought me on here to do, the Heat are 2 years ahead of schedule, even though Jimmy has been telling this story about winning and winning the championship for a year now. So if you just listen to Jimmy and you buy his $20 coffees, you're set.
Yeah, you start to look at these teams, these younger teams or younger players, and I think the bubble has helped them. I think the bubble is not good for older players, but for these younger guys who are 20, 21, 22, they don't have families. You know, okay, so you're being, you know, put up in a hotel and all you're doing is playing ball and that's it. No crowds. You know, there's no home court advantage. You know, you're not going to, you know, the Boston Garden to play and put up 37 points. And I think it's been a real benefit for some of these teams. I don't think Denver comes back from those 3-1 deficits if they're actually going on the road to these places. I don't think they beat the Clippers down 3 or, you know, down 3-1. But in the bubble, it just neutralizes everybody. Your thoughts on
I wondered before this all started on the campus in Orlando, what would prevail over talent? Like, if you just had the better team, what was going to win? And on a neutral floor, it's if you can get momentum swinging in your direction, what stops that? I mean, there's just nothing. So if you are the inferior seed and you can just get a couple things rolling, then you can keep it rolling, which has been the case for Miami against Milwaukee and Boston. For Denver, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Like, it's ridiculous that they have that capacity to keep pushing back. But yeah, if you had to go on the road to the Staples Center for all these games, by the way, it'd be hell to pay. You can't even hear yourself think. And I will say, Hero would have been all right. That would have been a Miami home game last night. So he would have, people have been carrying him in the street if this was regular life. I thought about that, Dan. Like, think about the folks in L.A. and Denver, Boston and Miami, whoever ends up advancing in those areas, just how that kind of – I'll come out of the arena at 1 a.m. after doing post game and crickets, like just nothing in a place like Miami where you can get down if you choose to.
Just remember, he's
not even available here.
He's not a sub. He's a hero.
Oh, my goodness.
Just remember that. Just
better than Grinder.
Oh, yeah. Grinder. Yeah, you can work that in. Also, Tyler the Hero. I think his middle name should be changed to the. You okay with that?
We'll reach out to moms.
Okay.
Yeah, see. Mom and them.
Are you going back to bed?
Not at all, dog. I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going into the postseason. That's where I'm headed. Come on.
You're Cincinnati.
Everywhere I turn, I'm winning, Dan. Right,
you're
now.
Cincinnati Reds.
And, oh, my.
And your Cy Young winner, Trevor Bauer.
come on, he comes off that thing. What? I don't know how I could handle that if I was a major league hitter. Just the guttural screaming, the stare downs. But in the end, you can hit it, right? I mean, you don't have to deal with any of that if you put your bat on the ball. But boy, when he comes off snapping out around, I can't handle it. I call my brother. We curse on the phone. It's pretty ridiculous.
Thanks for getting up. I know you got to bed late last night, but thanks for joining us to talk about my Heat.
True love, brother, and welcome to the nation. You need a flag back there. We're going to get you a Heat Nation flag if you don't mind flying it.
Yeah, bring it in. Yeah, send it up. See if
no doubt.
Ask Riles if he'll sign it for me.
Miami Heat partner FedEx will take care of that for you.
Thank you, Jay. That's Jason Jackson Jr. III joining us on the program. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. There was a story yesterday about Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor, we found out late in the window of when you're getting ready to play the Kansas City Chiefs. So late that morning or, you know, right before kickoff, we're finding out that Tyrod Taylor has been scratched, that something happened, and it was a reaction to medicine is what we were told. We didn't know anything else about that. And then Adam Schefter yesterday, late morning, said, hey, this had to do with a punctured lung. They were giving him, some kind of painkiller there for ribs, and they punctured his lung. And then Justin Herbert was pressed into service. Now, you know, the story didn't come out. They kept it, you know, under wraps there for a little while, you know, almost a day. And then it came out when Shefty reported it. And now you got Tyrod Taylor, who's not going to be able to play for a little while because of this punctured lung. And Justin Herbert is going to get the start. I don't know what's going to happen here with Tyrod Taylor. I don't know if he's going to get a chance to win his job back. But if he loses his job due to a punctured lung because of the doctor for the Chargers, I'm going to guess you probably have a lawsuit there. Here's Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, on the team doctor.
These guys, since I've been here now, our medical staff has been very, really trustworthy. You know, DJ just had his surgery with our team doctor. You know, there's a trust there, but how they respond to this, I don't know. That's going to be up to the locker room how they respond to this. But as of right now, I like the progress we've made with our players and our medical staff.
He also had this to say, that he's not upset with the team doctor.
I'm not angry at all. It happens, you know, and like I said, I can't go into details about it, but it was a complication with the shot, and no one's perfect. I don't think anyone on this Zoom is perfect, so it happens, but I know the doctors, I know he's a good man, and it was just unfortunate.
What if this was a playoff game? But it's the Chargers, so the likelihood of that happening maybe not as strong. But let's say it was a playoff game, and right before, you know, an hour before the game, you're getting numbed up so you can go out there and play. And then you puncture your quarterback's lung. That doesn't happen very often. Yes, Todd?
If I was a doctor, I'd feel so bad at that point, I'd just bolt.
See what you did there.
Oh, punctured lung humor too soon.
Yeah.
Is it too?
Yeah, it was. Thank you, Todd.
He's all right, though. It's not like life-threatening.
I know,
still,
but he lost his job.
He'll get it back.
Hopefully they don't bring the doctor up on any Chargers.
There you go.
Any Chargers. He may get brought up on Chargers. It's possible.
Anybody else want to throw in?
Sit this one out.
Okay, that's good.
Paul's just a lung for the ride. Hey, come on now. What? I got a punctured lung for crying out loud. Show some sensitivity.
Lung for the ride.
I think that's a walk-off.
You just want me to leave.
Yes, I do. Yes, yes.
Do I really have to leave?
No, you can stay.
I'd like to participate.
No, you can stay. All right. You can stay. All right. McLovin, what is the poll question? Since, we have overreaction Monday with the NFL. This is overreaction Thursday with the NBA with Tyler Hero.
It looks like our audience did not overreact. If you could redraft the last NBA draft, who'd you take? Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, or Tyler Hero? 64% Ja, 30% Zion, and 5% Tyler Hero.
Yeah, Tyler plays, he's an interesting player. But, you know, the other players know that they're the star of their team. Ja Morant knows he's the star. and Zion knows he's the star. Tyler Hero is not the star of that team. And they have a variety of players who play that role almost on a nightly basis there. Until Tyler gets his own team, we're probably not going to see what he's capable of doing on a consistent basis. Because you go into a game, it's not like this next game where Tyler Hero is going to be featured. I think those things just happen. And I hate the word, but it happens organically. In the flow of a game, somebody gets hot, you take advantage of a matchup there, somebody could get in foul trouble. Tyler Hero hit a couple of big shots there. That confidence, and he's all about confidence. And then your teammates sense that, and they start to feed you. And Tyler Hero had one of those great nights. He had one of those nights he'll look back on and say, that was one of the greatest performances a rookie's ever had in the postseason, and he would be correct. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter at DP Show. Kevin Harlan, the great voice, NFL and NBA, he'll join us on loan from CBS, also TNT, and we'll have the Fritzy contest with Kevin Harlan to see who sounds more like Kevin Harlan. And Fritzy was great yesterday and really lame in the first hour of the show.
He's a good sport, by the way, that he's willing to participate.
Well, thank you.
It's very cool.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Rays have won the American League East. You know, you look at that and you listen to that, you hear that, read it, and you go, man, the Yankees were a prohibitive favorite to go to the World Series this year. So not just win the American League East. And I remember when we had Tom Verducci on, and Verducci said, when I said, who do you like? And he said, I like a team that's got pitching depth. I like Tampa because they have about 15 pitchers. And at the time, I went, well, you're not going to need 15 pitchers. And then I realized, yes, you are. And Tampa Bay ended up winning the American League East. And I was watching. It was a big night for Tampa. I was watching the Lightning, the Ning, against the Stars last night. Wanted to hear Doc Emrick with the call with Eddie Olczyk. And they ended up winning that game last night as well. So we got our poll question. You got the headlines here. Kevin Harlan will join us coming up. Were there any other topics that you were thinking about for the poll question, McLovin?
It's sort of a question. When do the Dolphins go to Tua, or should the Dolphins go to Tua? And is it possible tonight, like if Ryan Fitzpatrick struggles?
I wonder how you work him in. And I don't know if you wait until you're not playoff eligible. But at some point, I think you have to kind of ease him in a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a little bit tonight, where Tua gets a chance to just go in. I want him to just have a little taste of a standalone game, Thursday night. It's against Miami, or against Jacksonville, and you can go out there and maybe just get that feel of what it's like. Because I don't know if you want to just say, just like the Chargers did with Justin Herbert, hey, you're going to play. Now, he played well. He played better than people thought. That's for sure. Joe Burrow knows he's going to go out there and start. Jordan Love is not going to play anytime soon with Green Bay. But Tua, and what are the odds that you have three quarterbacks taken in the first round who turn out to be really good? The odds are really long, but now you had Eli, you had Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Those are probably, at least two are Hall of Famers. Phillip Rivers, probably borderline Hall of Famer. But it's rare when you have three quarterbacks. I'm not even including Jordan Love right now. Three quarterbacks who turn out to be great in their careers, or very good in their careers. Joe Burrow has all the makings. Justin Herbert gave us at least a glimpse. And Tua, we've yet to see. Yeah, Paul.
I could tell you exactly when Tua is going to get his first start. You could book this one, Dan. In the next few weeks, they have the Seattle Seahawks. They have the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, you're not going to start there.
Yeah, they got the Chargers. They got the Cardinals. They got the Rams. Week 10, Miami Dolphins face the Jets. Then they have a bye week. Then they face the Jets. That's a perfect time. You put Tua in week 10 against the Jets. He gets a bye week. And then he comes right back against the Jets.
What a scheduling fluke there.
And then you get the Bengals. You got a month with basically an easy schedule.
But you're going to wait that long to play him.
Sure.
You have Peter King said the Dolphins were going to be a playoff team. So are you going to wait until they're – like if you're a playoff team and you get to that point, week 10, then you're not going to play Tua.
Then you play both your options. Fitzpatrick gives you a chance for the playoffs once you're not playoff eligible, which should be around week 10. Mm. You put it in.
Yes, McLovin.
Seahawks have been awfully friendly to opposing quarterbacks. They can't. They have no defense.
Well, is that game in Seattle or
it's in I think
in Miami?
I think it's in Miami.
Okay.
And then the Niners are people are talking about them as like sort of an also ran already.
But is that in San Francisco in Miami? Mm. See, it's where he's going to face.
That's in San Francisco, but that's a team that might be like half a team. Both of those are opportunities.
Yeah, see.
Does that still matter without fans? Where you're playing the game?
Not as much, but you're still going on. I'm taking you out of the comfort zone, and you're going cross-country. So I don't know if there's a further distance you can go than if you're going Miami to Seattle or Miami to San Francisco and then getting ready and during a pandemic and trying to be able to play with all the protocols. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Tua got a chance to play a little bit tonight. Maybe I'm just hoping because if he doesn't play tonight, I don't have that much interest in this game. I mean, I'll be watching the Lakers and the Nuggets first and then sneaking a peek. But if you said two is playing, then I'm watching that game. Yeah, McLevin.
You know how we react. If the Jags go 2-1, will it be Minshew mania again?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I like him. I just don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. And I think that's a big decision. If he plays well and you're not winning, but he still has good numbers there, you know, is it you're going in for Trevor Lawrence no matter what? No matter what Gardner Minshew does this year, if you get the opportunity to take Trevor Lawrence or if you get the opportunity for Justin Fields out of Ohio State, are you taking one of those quarterbacks? Yes, McClellan.
But are we just being shortest because, you know, because Gardner Minshew just still doesn't look like a quarterback? You know how we took forever with Russell? Not you, but other people have taken.
But I didn't view him as short. When we met him, is he 6'1"? Yeah. He is solid, man. That's what surprised me. When we met him in Miami, I went, man, that guy is big. Like he's thick. But he didn't strike me as short. He didn't strike me as tall. Like Joe Burrow was taller than I thought it. Like he was a legit 6'4". Yeah, Paul.
It's very funny how we've had all these quarterbacks in studio and we always look at each other when they leave like, that's a big dude. Or that's a, like Marcus Mariota came in, we're like, he's a little thin.
Yeah, very slight.
And then Jameis Winston came in, you're like, that's a big, strong guy.
I think when Derrick Henry came into the studio and I went, wow, I can't imagine trying to tackle that. Who else came in? Manziel came in and I was like, good luck to you, man. You're small.
And he came in the day after his Heisman celebration, yeah. So it was a, oh, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, see. Yeah,
did you guys mention Cam? When he came in, I remember thinking like, dang, that's a big dude. We had him at the Super Bowl.
Arizona?
I think so.
In studio in Arizona, but we also had him for a Celebrity Beach Bowl. He was a coach. So we met him twice.
He's a big guy.
That's a big dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he's – that's where you go. You know, you see these quarterbacks being tossed around. And then you see, like, Roethlisberger's a big guy. Cam's a big guy. Marino, big guy. Elway, big guy. And then you see how these defensive players kind of treat him like ragdolls. And then you see Joe Montana, and you go, how did he survive? Yes, McLovin.
Sorry, did you say Lamar Jackson, how he looked thin when he came in?
Yeah, you're
Heisman?
Right. Yeah, very thin. Very
but
thin.
It's still kind of strong, though, in a weird way.
I didn't get that. Kyler Murray, I got that.
It'd be great if a quarterback came in sometime and had a big gut, just like hanging over his shirt, like, oh, he's not in shape at all.
But Gardner Minshew strikes me as a character on King of the Hill, like that he would have a beer gut. Like he'd just come in and he'd just sit down and his shirt wouldn't cover his belly. But he is fun and got a lot of confidence out there. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. He's Kevin Harlan, play-by-play voice for NBA on TNT, NFL on CBS, and Monday Night Football in Westwood 1. He'll be in the booth this Sunday. Jets and the Colts. Last Sunday, he had Steelers-Titans. That's week 4. Is that right, Todd? He did Baltimore and Houston.
Baltimore-Houston was week 2.
Oh, okay. So we're already getting ahead to week 4. I only needed this week. I didn't need week 4.
I'd just like to give you more information than you need and confuse you.
bring in Kevin Harlan. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Dan. How are you? Good morning.
Oh, you know, we're just trying to deal with a non-professional staff here. We do it as well as anybody here.
Well, I'm a long-time listener, so I know all the personalities and love your show, so it's fun to be on.
How often do you get recognized by your voice?
More than when people see me. Like if I'm in a line and ordering food, or if I'm talking to my kids as we're walking, or my wife or whatever, and they may hear it, and they'll say, hey, I know that voice, you're... And they don't know, but they know it. So that's kind of fun. You know, not really. It's something that kind of follows us all in the business. I'm sure just like you, you talk and people know your voice instantly. But they see you as well. And they don't see us as much because it's on radio on a Monday night. And then we're just on for such a short time when we make our opens on TNT and CBS, so it's not as common. But voice, yes, sometimes people will know.
I had a woman, an operator, and I was calling for a phone number, and the woman paused, the operator paused, and she said, say something again. And I said, I said, I need the number. And then she goes, I go to bed with you. And I go, what? And she said, my boyfriend, you're on TV. My boyfriend has, wait, what show are you on? I said, SportsCenter. She goes, my boyfriend has, you work at night. And I go, yes. And then we got done. And then she hung up. I didn't even get the phone number from her when I was asking her for it. So I get it sometimes, but you're right. You know, I've been on TV, or at least my face has, for a long time. But people will hear the voice sometimes and go, oh, it's Mr. SportsCenter. They may not know my name. I'm just like, oh, you're Mr. SportsCenter there.
Well, it's instantly recognizable. I got to ask you a question, though, because I thought this for a long time, and I thought maybe we'd cross paths. And I'd ask you in person. I mentioned this to Todd when we're texting back and forth. But did you listen a lot to Larry King and his interview style by chance when you were a younger broadcaster and getting your place in the business? I'm not trying to, you know, deter the conversation here, but your questions and your pacing and all that, the best I had ever heard in news was Larry King. I thought his interviewing style was great. And then I started listening to you religiously for, I don't know how many years you've been doing the radio show. And I thought this is even better than King, because your personality is a little bit more warm, and Larry, of course, was more directed on news topics and serious matters. And I see a parallel there, but I was just curious to see if you had listened a lot to him when you were growing up and becoming the broadcaster that you are.
I would listen to Larry. He was doing overnights with his talk show, and I would
a mutual.
Yeah, and I was doing morning drive radio on a rock and roll station, and I would be coming in around 4:30, and then I would hear Larry usually about for 40 minutes or so. And what I always remembered was like the curiosity that you have. Anybody who interviews, be a good listener, but be curious and care about what somebody's answers are. That's really the most important things that I teach. I teach my broadcasting students. And Larry has been at the forefront of that for, you know, many, many, many decades. And there are a lot of people who are really good at it. But when people go, boy, you ask great questions. And I always say, it's not a great question unless it solicits a great answer. That's what makes, you know, for a great interview. And I always tell broadcasters, ask a question that's open-ended. Get somebody talking back to you, because that's what people are tuning in to hear, not how great your question is. But thank you for that compliment. Who did you look up to when you wanted to be a play-by-play voice?
The first voice I remember when I was about 8, 9 years old was Facenda's on NFL Films. And then I, really listened to race. I grew up in Green Bay. My dad was with the Packers for almost 4 decades. And so living there, football was intense.
Ray Scott,
yes. And some other voices, like, I'd go to bed at night and listen on WCFL in Chicago, Jim Durham doing the Bulls, and Joe Tate on 3WE do the Cavs.
the two voices that I probably admire the most, aside from Facenda Scott and Summerall, Summerall's voice to me was great, and Don Criqui, was Chuck Thompson out of Baltimore and Jim Simpson at later ESPN, but initially at NBC.
Yeah.
And those were the, like, I would tape them on my cassette recorder when I was, you know, like just a kid, and fall asleep with that playing underneath my pillow at night, and would listen to their cadence and their calls. And then as I was, you know, just getting in the business when I was like 13, 14, I tried to mimic them, but I would like use the array of voices. Like I'd spend 10 minutes trying to sound like Jim Simpson and 10 minutes trying to sound like Chuck Thompson or Jim Durham or Pat Summerall. And I always tell kids that ask me about voice and presentation delivery, I say, you know, you need a roadmap. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. You need a roadmap. And what those voices and trying to sound like as you listen to all the different things, the tonality and how they move through a sentence and a call, is you kind of condition the muscles in your voice to kind of exude that. Then you get off on your own road and you sound like you're going to sound. But those are the voices I hear in my head. I hear Chuck Thompson, Simpson, Summerall, and Facenda. Those are the voices I listen to. When I leave my hotel room for CBS every morning, going out to the stadium for our Sunday broadcast, I'll play the John Facenda, "The Autumn Wind Is a Raider." Because I just feel like, first of all, I'm lucky enough to be in the NFL. I'm living a dream every time I step in an NFL broadcast booth. And I think about the appreciation I have for guys like him that probably sent many broadcasters into the business, listening to his delivery and voice and cadence and just what he meant really to kind of igniting the NFL and the majesty of it and everything else. So it's kind of like a little habit I get into, and it's something I've kind of stuck with every year I've been at CBS and before that at Fox.
I remember when the Raiders played the Redskins, and this was Joe Theismann, and Jack Squirek was the linebacker for the Raiders who had an interception. And John Facenda had that line, "The silver and black clad masters of intimidation nearly took Joe Theismann's head off." And then you had that 1812 overture, and I went, "Oh, you got me." "The silver and black clad masters of intimidation nearly took Joe Theismann's head off." God, I love that.
I've got a very short Facenda story. When I was in college, I was producing the Kansas City Chiefs radio network pregame, halftime, postgame shows all across the Midwest. And we had this three-hour pregame show, and I wrote Facenda at NFL Films. I was about 19 years old. And I wrote Facenda at NFL Films, and I asked him, "Would you mind reading this intro to our broadcast and the outro? Would you mind doing just a couple of, like, 25 seconds long each? I don't know what you charge, but it would mean a lot to us." And about a week later, I get this phone call in my fraternity house at the University of Kansas. And, "Kevin, this is John Facenda calling." And I go, "Oh, my God." And he says, "Would you mind if I rearranged this one sentence?" And I said, "You do whatever you want to do. I'm just so thankful you'll do it." So I get the reel-to-reel tape about a week after that, and I'm listening to it, but they have all of his, you know, outtakes and all. It's just raw tape. And finally he gets it right, the one that he liked, the version that he recorded. And at the end of it, you know, there was this pause. And I don't know if Steve Sable was on the other side of the glass, but he said after this long pause, "Now that's a horse that I can ride." And I just love that story. And I still have the tape of him saying that raw tape. So I,
that's great.
Facenda to me was the voice of the NFL.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. You know, with Joe just going in, I start thinking about that. And I texted Joe last week after that announcement, and course, you know, he just looks up to his dad and thinks his dad hung the moon, and rightly so. That was a wonderful relationship between father and son, and the fact that the son has almost become more popular than the father. And as you know, Jack Buck in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, 90s was like the voice of sports in this country, with so many sports covered, football, baseball, everything else. So, but that Pete Rozelle Award is one coveted by every broadcaster. If Facenda is not in, I would be shocked. I know the Sables are in, Ed and Steve.
Yeah, that took a while, though, for them to get in, which is a shame. But, I mean, Paulie, would you check and see? I don't think John Facenda is in the Hall of Fame, but, I mean, his contributions with those, you know, those highlights, I mean, that he should be in there in the Hall of Fame. We're talking to Kevin Harlan, play-by-play voice for NBA on TNT. NFL and CBS, he's got the Jets and the Colts this Sunday. Yeah, let me see you make that sound like an interesting game. Good luck with that, Kevin. No crowd noise. You're going to have to really ratchet it up there a little bit.
I know. But those are the great challenges. You've done play-by-play. You know what that's like. Sometimes you get a – you know, we had a great game going in last week, and it really wasn't much of a game, Baltimore at Houston. We think, you know, two great young quarterbacks, and only Lamar Jackson really was the one that made a dent. And then this week we got this. Next week, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, which might be pretty good, at least on paper. So you never know what you're going to get. Actually, the Raider-New Orleans game we did in Vegas a couple nights ago, that should not be a terrific game with the Raiders looking really good. So you never know what you're going to get. You just always go in, as you know, as prepared as possible and do the best job you can.
All right, we have a contest here, and it's called the Kevin Harlan game. So it's good that we have you on with us for the Kevin Harlan game. So like if Joe Buck was on, it would be really odd to do the Kevin Harlan game.
Joe wouldn't do it.
Okay, so you and Todd are going to have some calls, some play-by-play calls, and then the audience has to figure out, is it Kevin Harlan making this call or Todd Fritz? Now, we don't know who's going to go first, so contestant number one, you may approach the microphone with your play-by-play call.
Jason Tatum from the corner, he buries the three, and the Celtics take a double-digit lead. Eric Spoelstra will gather the troops here and try to stop the bleeding. We step away briefly. This is the NBA on TNT.
All right. Contestant number two.
All right. Tatum from the corner. He buries the three, and the Celtics take a double-digit lead. Spoelstra will gather the troops here and try to stop the bleeding as we step away. This is the NBA on TNT.
Okay. I can't tell the difference right now. Round two.
The false start makes it 3rd and 8 now for the Seahawks, just inside their own 15. Wilson the snap, drops back to throw, complete to DK Metcalf across the 30 and steps out of bounds at the 34. It's the first down for the Seahawks.
Okay, contestant number two.
The false start makes it a 3rd and 8 for Seattle, just inside their own 15. Wilson back to pass, complete to DK Metcalf across the 30, out of bounds at the 34. That's a first down for the Seahawks.
Okay, I'm going to need one more because I can't really determine who is Kevin Harlan. Final round here to decide the Kevin Harlan game.
If you're just joining us, Patrick Mahomes is at it once again. The Chiefs trailed by 20 at one point. Now they're down just 4 with under a minute to go. The single setback, Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes rolls back. He's got Travis Kelce in the back corner. Both feet in. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Wow, that was a great call, Kev. I mean, I'm not sure who made that call. Here's the final call.
If you're just joining us, Mahomes is at it again. Chiefs trail by 20. Now they're down just 4 with under a minute to go. The single back is Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes rolls right. He's got Kelce in the back corner. Both feet in. Touchdown. The Chiefs have scored.
I don't know. It felt like the voice that did the first version of that touchdown pass. Who was Todd? Can you tell me who was you and who was Kevin there?
Okay, on the first one, which was the Celtics with Jason Tatum, I went...
No, Todd, I know.
Oh, you're being a wise guy. Oh, just totally
that's
set
Todd,
me
we're
up.
Aware of who it really was.
I would hope that it would be very clear who Kevin Harlan is and who Fritzy from the Dan Patrick Show. I was so proud of my impersonation, I thought for a second that you needed me to clarify.
Kevin, if you ever miss a game and you need somebody to fill in for you and be you, then Todd Fritz is your guy.
I'll definitely make that call, and I'll tell the people at CBS he's ready to go, willing and ready to go.
So you sure we didn't have to let you know who was Kevin's
No,
voice?
No, no.
Positive, you knew.
I was able to. I mean, I could have let the mystery linger forever, but I just thought I got to be fair to the audience and let them know. I just do. Kevin, you're a great sport. Safe travels. Have fun with the Jets and the Colts this Sunday at 4 Eastern on CBS.
My privilege, Dan. Thank you. And thanks to your great crew. As I began by saying, I listen all the time and love the show and love all the guys that are a part of it. And it was really fun to be on.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. That's Kevin Harlan. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.